Welcome to The Jump.
I am Rachel Nichols alongside NBA champ Matt Barnes, as well as the future Hall of Famer Vince Carter. Coming up, Zach Lowe is going to drop by to give us the latest on the Celtics negotiations with Gordon Hayward on picking up the option on his contract. Why is this such a sticking point? What is the end game for Boston? Well, we'll tell you all the latest. First, though, we're going to begin in Houston, where our Dave McMenamin confirms a story first reported by The Athletic that the Rockets have discussed the idea of trading Russell Westbrook to the Wizards in exchange for John Wall. Those talks have yet to turn into anything concrete, reportedly because the Rockets have a higher price tag in mind than, well, just John Wall. This comes on the heels of Tim McManaman and Adrian Wojnarowski reporting the Rockets brass does not feel pressured to trade Westbrook and or James Harden, who, by the way, turned down that $103 million extension this week. A high-ranking member of the Rockets front office told ESPN, quote, "We are willing to get uncomfortable." So Vince Carter, how uncomfortable can the Rockets afford to get with their star players? We've seen teams say to players, "I'm sorry, you're just not getting a trade." It worked out with the Lakers and Kobe Bryant, but boy, did not work out so well with, say, the Timberwolves and Jimmy Butler. Eventually, that all came apart.
Right. I think the Rockets are in the driver's seat, in my opinion. I think, you know, they can dictate what they're looking for, what they want, and when they want it. I mean, James Harden and or Russ can say what they want and not be happy all they want, but at the end of the day, they still have to get the Houston Rockets to sign off on it, in my opinion. So I think right now, Houston Rockets are in the driver's seat because, I mean, if you look at the history of this, I mean, they don't want to get put in a position where they just have to make an impulse trade just because those guys are not happy and they get left with not much. Because think about it, what there's not many guys out there that you can get to match up with the skill level of a James Harden and Westbrook for that matter.
I think it's a difficult situation with Rockets management. Everything I've been hearing, there's been a lot of non-communication between management when they make moves and consulting in their superstars. And anyone who knows, majority of the time with these superstar players, everything's kind of ran through them. And everything I'm hearing was it wasn't this time, and there's some frustration from Russ and James, and that's why these guys want to go. Now, I'm not saying they are going to be disruptive superstars because I'm not putting that on them, but we all know a disruptive superstar in a locker room can kill a season before the season even starts. So although the Rockets do have the upper hand because these guys are under contract, I think they want to play this very cautious because for anyone that wants that would turn down $103 million really doesn't want to be somewhere. So I would try to move him.
Facts.
How much would you guys have to think twice, six times, eight times, 15 times, Matt, before you turn down $103 million over 2 years?
I'm not turning that down.
At the end of the day, look, I could be happy, not happy, and want to be moved, but you're going to move me with that 103.
But I respect it, too, from a standpoint of, like you said, it's not about the money for him. James has been taken care of.
Right.
His Adidas deal is amazing. Like, he does not want to be there anymore. It, like I said, it's been a mishaps and mishandling by management, and they made a mistake. Now, the guy that the helped build this, put them back on the map, wants to leave. You got to get him out.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. He has, by the time this contract that he's currently on is over, will have made around $300 million. That doesn't even count the Adidas money you guys are talking about. So I guess it must be nice. It must be nice to turn that down, that kind of cash. I want to welcome in our ESPN senior writer, Zach Lowe. Zach, have you ever turned down $103 million over 2 years?
Just a couple of times, you know, and it didn't come back to bite me, so I'm doing okay. It was a tough decision, but I turned it down a couple of times.
I appreciate that. Before we move on to the Celtics, which was one of the reasons we wanted to have you pop in here today, I'm curious to know how uncomfortable you think the Rockets front office can really get with James and Russ this season.
I agree with Vince. I'm not sure they're in the driver's seat, but I do think they have time. And I think that message yesterday that they sent out saying we're willing to get uncomfortable, a lot of people interpret it as, well, that's a message to anybody who would trade for James Harden. You better bring the price up. We're willing to ride it out. I think it was a message just as much to James and Russ as, hey, look, you guys are competitors. Are you really prepared to, like, not show up here, not play hard? I don't think you are. You're prideful. You're competitors. You've been MVPs in this league. You're going to come to camp. We still think we're going to have a pretty good team. This is what the Rockets would like. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think that was what the message was delivered. And I do think with Drew Holiday off the table and at that price, That's one trade target out the door for Brooklyn or anyone else who wants an all-star two guard. I think time and leverage are on their side. Maybe Philadelphia comes to the table, maybe somebody else. But I think Houston is playing this right so far, even if there's a little bit of bluster going on.
Yeah, and look, that leverage and time is a factor. James Harden, for example, has got 2 seasons left on his contract. That's a lot different than when a guy only has 1 season left on his deal. A team has the opportunity to say, what are you going to do? You can't really just sit out 2 seasons. And by the way, the NBA does not let players do that. It's different from the NFL. I feel like we have to remind people of that every year. You can't just sit out and have your contract months start to pass. The NBA says that it doesn't start to happen until you show up. So if James Harden was going to sit out for 3 months, then his contract year wouldn't start for 3 months. He doesn't get those 3 months back and taken out of his deal. So they have to come to training camp, and it will be interesting to see their attitude when they get there. I want to move on, though, Zach, because yesterday you broke the news that the Celtics and Gordon Hayward are moving the deadline for Hayward to accept his $34 million player option for next season. It was 5 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. Now it's 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon. What is going on behind the scenes right now?
Well, I think step one is pretty obvious, right? A player option means Gordon Hayward has to opt in. If he does nothing, if that deadline just passes with nothing, no notification to the union, he just becomes a free agent. And the Celtics extending that deadline in cooperation with Gordon Hayward and his representatives suggests to you that Gordon Hayward's preferred outcome is not just to opt in for 1 year at $34 million to stay with the Celtics. That doesn't necessarily mean he wants to leave the Celtics. It just means maybe if he's going to stay, he wants more long-term money. And every option from what I've heard today is on the table here. An opt-in and trade, an opt-in and trade and he gets an extension, a sign-in trade. I think there's a team or two with cap room who he can just walk to, and that's the leverage maybe that he needs to get Boston to cooperate with him. So I think everything is on the table. Boston would love to have him back. I think they would have liked to have him back for just 1 year, but I think there's a lot of machinations going on to try and find a long-term solution to this either in Boston or elsewhere, and there are a few teams I think to keep an eye on.
What are the teams you think to keep an eye on for a possible trade?
Well, for a possible trade, I think I would keep my eye on Indiana. There's been buzz about the Pacers and Gordon Hayward for a while now. And for free agency, I mean, Atlanta's been rumored. I'm not sure if that's a stalking horse. I'd keep my eye on Charlotte, who's got a lot of balls in the air and would like a talent upgrade for next year, particularly on the wing like Gordon Hayward plays. So I think there's a number of teams, and there's certainly going to be wildcard teams. I mean, people kind of forgot because of all the injuries. Gordon Hayward had a really good season last year. He's a really good player. He's still in his prime. I think there'll be a lot of interest. But those are the main teams I'm looking at.
Excellent, Zach. Thank you so much for dropping by. We will see you Friday for our free agency special. That's going to be 3 hours of fun. But, of course, the draft first tonight. All right, guys. So, Matt, how would you play your cards right now if you were Gordon Hayward? The fact that he has the decision to either opt in or opt out gives him some leverage in these trade discussions or whether Boston keeps him.
I think Gordon is doing something from a standpoint. If they gave him a lot of money due to a lot of things that was out of his control, mostly injuries, he wasn't really able to live up to the old Gordon Hayward they thought they were getting. So I think he's being a little flexible with them and understanding that, hey, that's a lot of money. I need some kind of security coming off this injury. So, but particularly, I don't necessarily think Boston is the best fit considering their core. Their core shoots a lot. They got a lot of balls up, so I don't know if there's enough for Gordon Hayward. And like Zach said, I think that every year after this injury, you're going to continue to see Gordon get back to the form he was before, and I really think he'll be able to spread his wings somewhere else. So, like I said, I think he's working with the team, but at the end of the day, you know, he wants to be able to secure his future and his money as well.
And I agree with you, Matt, for the fact of, you know, that money is there. I think if you're going to opt out of it, you got to make sure you're going to get it somewhere else. And I know there's some teams like Atlanta who has a lot of money in cap space who could throw the money, who will throw money at him and maybe throw some more money to take him or keep him away from other teams. So, you know, it's a slippery slope. You know, I know with the season and the turnaround time, it's very short, particularly for someone like him who, you know, have time to rest and then build his body up to get ready for the season. I think that's very important, and that's something to look at as well.
Yeah, well, he definitely was not 100%. He got injured in the bubble, missed some time, came back, and it seemed pretty clear watching him go up and down the court that he was not his full, complete self in that playoff series, but they needed him to play, and he did. Unfortunately for Boston fans,
for didn't win
that
dollars,
one, and
man,
we'll see.
Like,
for sure. I mean, look, no one on this panel has said they're going to walk away from $103 million, from $34 million. Yeah. I guess these are just Yeah. These are good problems to have if you're an NBA player. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to be joined by the one and only Jay Billis. He's going to break down his draft class and share his expectations for the upcoming college hoop season. Welcome back to The Jump. We would now like to welcome in our college basketball expert, draft expert, Jay Billis. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. Good to be with you.
You said, how many years have you been doing this draft, and this is the weirdest one?
Yeah, by far. This is my 18th. So the first draft I did was the LeBron James draft in 2003. And I can't imagine what the players are going through. I mean, I think it's difficult for the teams through the pandemic, not having the normal information they'd have. But for the players, they've waited a long time for this. And so they've got to be really excited as the draft approaches tonight.
Well, look, it's still a draft. They're still seeing their NBA dreams come true, and you guys are going to be there in Bristol tonight with the commissioner to make all of that happen. We're just hours away. Jake, who is your best prospect as you sit there this afternoon?
Well, on my best available list, I have Anthony Edwards of Georgia as the number one overall prospect, and it's primarily due to his athleticism advantage that he has over LaMelo Ball. Edwards is a big-time scorer. He can score from all three levels. He's got deep range. He can score in the mid-range, and he can really finish at the basket and in transition. I think the issue you have with Anthony Edwards is, does he know how to play yet? He takes some questionable shots, and I think he settles for jump shots too much. And with that athleticism and body and handle and ability to finish, he needs to get to the rim more and get to the free throw line more, and he needs to be a more focused defender. You know, he's so long and athletic. If he really sits down in a stance, nobody's going to get by him. And I think he could be an outstanding defender in the NBA. He just has to show the consistent want to throughout the course of a game.
Well, look, you mentioned LaMelo Ball as and look, some of our draft experts at ESPN have them as the number one prospect. What do you think his ceiling is in the NBA?
I think he can be really good. You know, Mike Schmitz, who is as good a talent evaluator as there is in the game, has him number one overall. And reasonable minds can differ on this. It's a close call. But LaMelo Ball is a wizard with the basketball, can really handle it, and is actually, I think, a better passer than his brother Lonzo Ball, the number two pick a few years ago out of UCLA. He doesn't shoot it well, but he's got terrific size. And he's got pretty good speed, but he changes pace with the ball. He can get by people. He finishes well. He's very creative. But his ability to deliver the ball. But he's another guy, Rachel, that he's got to guard somebody. He doesn't defend. And in fact, his brother Lonzo is a better shooter than he is. And Lonzo's, I wouldn't classify him as Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or anything. He doesn't shoot it great. So he's going to have to really improve that shot. But there's no denying with the basketball, he's truly outstanding.
And where does James Wiseman fit in for you?
Right in, I think, as the second best prospect, frankly. If this were 5 or 10 years ago, I really believe that James Wiseman would be the number one overall pick, and we wouldn't even hesitate to say that. But the game's changed, and Mike Schmitz has, I think, accurately said it's almost like he's a running back in the NFL now because the game's changed so much. But he's a Chris Bosh-type player, I think. He's 7'1", 7'6 wingspan. He's a lob threat, can really run. He rebounds well. He blocks shots, protects the rim. I think he can shoot it. I think he can step away and shoot it. And I think he's going to fit in well if the Warriors decide to take him in number two because, you know, there's a thought out there that you can get a serviceable big guy on the open market, and it's not that expensive, and that may be true, but he's way better than serviceable. James Wiseman's going to be a really, really good player for a long time, as long as he stays healthy.
It's so interesting if he does end up going number two to Golden State, because he does fill a need for them, obviously not on the same timeline as their main players, but at least the position is the correct position for something they might be drafting for. And you said you think he can step away and shoot. I can't think of any better shooting coaches, Jay, than Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, right? They've got the guys there to help him develop.
Yeah, just don't get in a three-point shooting contest or practice for money, especially as a rookie. Stay away from that.
I think that would be good advice for anybody in the NBA, actually, not to get into a three-point shooting contest for money on that team. Just Just saying. I do want to hop over though to college hoops. We don't get to have you on that often, Jay. So I got to ask you about your other gig here. The pandemic presented so many challenges to the football season, but they're working through them because they get to play outdoors. They have a week off in between games to sort of manage any positive tests they have. Basketball is a whole different story. What are your expectations for the upcoming season, which is only a week away?
A bumpy ride. The one hope that I have for basketball, as you've mentioned, indoors, way more games, a lot more travel, a lot more things involved. We're about to have these schools send their students home, not just for Thanksgiving, but really for the first semester, and they're not going to bring them back. And I've got an idea that they're not going to bring them back early in the second semester either. So that'll give these basketball teams an opportunity to be on campus and isolated, almost in their own bubble. And I think that's going to give us a better chance to get a season in. So I'm optimistic cautiously, but there's no question we're going to have cancellations and postponements just like football. We may have a better chance of getting those in, but we're going to have to be creative.
Yeah, for sure. Assuming the season does progress and get to March, how do you feel about the idea of a single-site NCAA tournament in Indianapolis?
Smart move by the NCAA. It's really the only thing they could do. The idea that we were going to be able to manage 13 different sites throughout the course of 3 weeks for an NCAA tournament, I think they realized that wasn't going to work. So having a bubble-type environment, it won't be a strict bubble like they had down in Orlando for the NBA, but it'll be an isolation environment where they can bring everybody in there, kind of isolate them in Indianapolis. I think that's going to be the place where ultimately it is. And Indianapolis is always the default city for the Final Four. If there's any sort of disruption for a Final Four, some sort of weather catastrophe or something, they always have the option every year to go to Indianapolis. So they're used to this, and I think it'll be a good thing. But honestly, Rachel, it's the only way they can get in. If we go 2 years without an NCAA tournament, that may be an existential threat for the NCAA as an organization. The tournament is their only revenue source. They don't get any football money flowing through the NCAA office. It all comes in from the NCAA basketball tournament. They have to have this.
Yeah, absolutely. And also at a time where college basketball is going through so much change, whether top prospects go the college route or not, the tournament is one of their chief selling points, not just to the public, but to hot prospects coming in of, hey, you'll get the chance like Zion Williamson did, like so many guys did, to have these great games over the course of a season and then try to show your stuff in the NCAA tournament. And we've had NCAA tournament heroes over the years that end up highly rated in the draft. This year, of course, everything is out of order. We are so glad you are with us, Jay, to manage it all. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be watching you tonight.
Thanks, Rachel.
Coming up, the NBA schedule is going to be released in two parts. What does that mean? How will it work? We will give you all the info coming up next. We'll play a round of something, nothing, or everything. Stick with us. And welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Welcome back to our esteemed player panel, Matt Barnes, Vince Carter, and welcome into NBA champ Kendrick Perkins joining us. Thank you, sir, for being with us.
Hey, peasy.
It's time to revisit, guys, one of our favorite games on The Jump, something, nothing, or you know what's next, everything. Shout out Kevin Wilds. First up, the NBA 72-game schedule will be released in two halves. They're going to do the first half of the season. That will run from December 22nd to March 4th. That's going to be released right around the start of training camp. The league is not going to release the second half until later, once play has already started, to adjust for any postponements that, quote, can be reasonably added. And a play-in tournament is a lock now, back to end the season. Here is a quick explanator for that. The seventh seed will face the eighth seed, with the winner advancing to the playoffs. The ninth seed will face the 10th seed. The winner advances to face the loser of the 7-8 game. And then lastly, the winner of the 9-10 faces the loser of the 7-8 to determine that final playoff spot. So, Perk, is the return of a play-in tourney this season something, nothing, or everything?
Oh, it's everything. It's the appetizer before the playoffs. It's the playoffs before the playoffs. And you know what else it does? It makes guys take regular season games throughout the long season very important so they don't have to play in the play-in tournament. So teams are going to be going even harder and playing extremely good basketball throughout the season so that they don't fall in that bottom tier of the play of the conferences so they have to play in the play-in. I love it. This is everything to me.
I agree. I think it's everything, too. And I think Perk hit it on the head. You can't take your foot off the gas. You know, you got to continue to play throughout the season. I think the playing game in the bubble was excellent. It was well played on both sides. And I said I like this about a month ago because some teams hit their stride late. Some teams have injured key injuries mm-hmm. early on in the season. It still allows these guys to get hot at the right time. But at the end of the day, you want to be hot going into the playoffs and may the best teams get in.
And I agree with you. I said something, but it's everything at the same time because if you're the 10th seed, you're like, man, this is everything. We get a chance. We just need to stay close. And if you're that 7th, 8th seed, you're like, man, please, we got to make sure we're hitting our stride at the right time. But I tell you what, one thing KP said, this is igniting the fans for what the playoffs is going to look like weeks later. So I love it. I think the play-in game was phenomenal, which led to a great playoffs, which led to our champion. So this is a great thing.
And let's be honest. I mean, it's a way to get a few more games in because, you know, the regular season is a little bit shorter this year. So it's a way to generate some more revenue going into the playoffs. So business side, but also entertaining for fans.
Absolutely. And look, it means, as you said, Matt, hot teams are going into the playoffs. So maybe those first round matchups, 1-8 or 2-7, are going to be a little bit better because they've got teams that are raring to go at the bottom of the bracket. All right. Potential top pick Anthony Edwards had a curious quote recently. I want to read it to you guys. He said that leading up to the draft, when he's watching basketball, you know what? Doesn't really watch much if he's not in the game. He said, quote, I can't watch, saying he loves to play it, but he's not into watching as much as, say, his first love, football. Vince, is this quote something, nothing, or everything?
To me, it's nothing. And here's why I say it's nothing. I'm playing in this era now I play with a bunch of young guys. A lot of these guys don't watch basketball like that. Once they're done, they go straight to the video games or Netflix or whatever they do. So this is not a surprise to me. This doesn't bother me. I think when they show up to practice and they're doing what they do in the arena, in the game, and of course studying when you need to study, that's all I care about. After that, I mean, you would hear this from a lot of guys, I feel like. So this is nothing to me.
Oh, well, Vince, I'm glad you brought up your last part of your career, your Hall of Fame career, because it was with the Hawks. And I'm glad that you brought up those guys weren't watching basketball, and it showed because they wasn't in the playoffs and they were at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. So this is everything to me. Anthony Edwards, let me give you some advice. You need to start watching your opponents on your off nights. Otherwise, you might be going out there and people going to be putting 30 on you. So watch the game, young fella.
I think this is nothing, but Perk is right. I think it has to change because this is his job now, and you understand the intricacies of the game by watching film. But I was very similar. I was a football player at heart, and the only time I really watched basketball was when the Lakers were playing. Other than that, it was football all day, every day. So I understand where he's coming from. But what I love most about this is I know he has a football player's mentality, and I was wondering what kind of dog he is. He's a dog, so I'm excited for him because I think he has tremendous upside.
But Matt, don't you think that you could get useful, valuable, additional information if you are watching on your
absolutely.
Off nights and seeing how different games
like
go
said,
and different guys play?
Absolutely. I think it needs to change. I think obviously now this is his job and someone's gonna pull him to the side hopefully and teach him how to watch film and watch games because that's what you need to do at this level. But I said leading up to this, I didn't think it was a big deal.
Yeah, no, I want to say I agree with you, Perk. You said it, and like that's what it was. You watch basketball, you learn, you pick up things that you didn't know before about guys that you don't know or guys that you do know. So I think that needs to change. But like I said, and I've always preached that, like, guys, you need to watch this game and get into your film and understand the intricacies of the game. So, yeah, at some point it needs to change.
And Vince, that's so interesting that you said some of your younger Hawks teammates in your last stop weren't watching in the same way. All I can say is this, the greats of the game right now, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, I know how much basketball they watch in their off time. We saw LeBron James, when he didn't make the playoffs last year, say that he still watched every single televised game because he said, oh, I could learn stuff. Well, apparently paid off, won the title this year. So my advice to Mr. Edwards would be to start watching just a little bit more. You can fit it in between Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football. Just saying. All right, according to Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, the Warriors have discussed a trade with the Bulls involving their second-round pick for the Bulls' fourth pick and Wendell Carter Jr. I'll ask the former Warrior, Matt, is this something, nothing, or everything?
I think trading the pick is definitely something. I trust Warriors management. They've been continuing to make solid moves. And there's really no clear-cut one. I mean, obviously the top three kids are all intriguing for different ways. I really like if they decide to keep Wiseman. I think he's a player that can rim-run, block shots, and catch lobs, which can be very effective for that Warrior team. But if they decide to trade it and package maybe an Andrew Wiggins and maybe a Pascal or something and trade and get a superstar that we didn't know was available, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Matt. I think it's something. But if I'm the Warriors, I'm keeping that number two pick, and I'm drafting Wiseman. Look, this is the best big in the draft. This is the only thing that this Warriors team is missing is a 7'1 freak of nature like the kid Wiseman. And I hear the rumors about packaging up Wiggins, but I'm keeping Wiggins. Wiggins now, this is the only time that he don't have to be the number one player or the number one player on this team. He could be that third option guy, a Harrison Barnes 2.0, and all they missing is Wiseman. If I'm the Golden State Warriors, I'm keeping the number two pick.
I'm right there with you guys. I think the number two pick they should keep. That's a great asset in draft picking Wiseman. But I say, like Matt said, if you do go into free agency or a trade, I like a LaMarcus Aldridge. I like a Kevin Love. And the reason I like LaMarcus Aldridge, he demands double teams. He brings the attention in the post. You can't just play that guy one-on-one. And I know some teams say we got to play him one-on-one because when you play him one-on-one, you know what he can do, which now allows their shooters to be shooters. So, yeah, exactly. So if you choose not to go into the draft, I like a LaMarcus Aldridge type of player. But you can't pass on a guy like this, like Wiseman.
Well, it is interesting. We don't know what the Warriors draft board is, right? If they have someone at four who they rank just as highly, then obviously you get an extra pick in that scenario that Kevin O'Connor reported is that you get the number four pick, so you can take that same guy. Maybe you rated just as highly, but you get Wendell Carter Jr. too, or you could turn around and trade those assets as well. So we'll have to see what they decide to do, but I do
agree
with you
guys. They're in a great position.
A great fit.
One thing I'll say too is the strength of the Warriors in the past has also been their bench, so I know they need to add some stuff to their bench. So whether packaging up the pick can add strength in their bench and bring something to the lineup, but the bench has been key during their championship dynasty.
Absolutely. Spoken like a man who was on that Warriors bench when they won a ring. Up next, we're going to discuss what a fair trade for James Harden would look like after he turned down $103 million from the Rockets. Stay tuned. All right, guys, on Friday, The Jump is going to air a special time. It'll be 4 p.m. Eastern. Why? Because we're going to have a three-hour free agency special. I'm going to be joined by a plethora of NBA analysts, insiders. They're going to break down all the moves. Do not miss it. And it's crunch time right here on The Jump. We want to wish a happy 45th birthday to White Chocolate, Jason Williams. Vince, what was it like to play against him?
Bubs.
Man. Shoot, it was man, I don't even know where to start. Like, I've known J. Will for a very long time. I was introduced to him from Nick Anderson, but like I said, playing against him, it was amazing. Obviously, watching this kid who became White Chocolate do what he does, and that's what you used to see in street ball. He brought that to the game, that flair. He was fearless. I mean, and then as a teammate, Matt and I, we were both teammates with him in Orlando, and I tell you what, man,
classic.
He's a character. He's a great person to be around, man.
Happy birthday, Bubs.
Hey, Rachel. Right, so you know what
fun.
Happens when you turn 45,
he's definitely,
right?
He's somewhere on the golf course right now.
Yep, guaranteed.
Rachel, you know what happens when you turn 45, right? You know what happens when you turn 45? That NBA pension kicks in. I know he happy today.
It's a party. The Knicks, let's talk about them. They're moving up in the draft. They're acquiring the 23rd pick from the Jazz in exchange for the 27th and 38th pick. Perk, what do you want to see the Knicks do in this draft?
I want to see them move up, but they have to draft well. I want to see them draft a point guard. You know, I've been high on the Knicks possibly trying to move up to get LaMelo Ball. He's what they need, but they have to do well in this draft. The Knicks, if they want to start building and going the right direction for once, they have to draft well. And they got to be starting with LaMelo Ball. They got to find a way to move up, Rachel.
We'll see if they can go up and get him. I want to talk about a new teammate situation. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, already spotted playing ball together at the former home of Suns owner Robert Sarver. Mm-hmm. Matt, do you think this trade guarantees a playoff spot for the Suns?
I think it does. I think they'll be in that 5-7 range. I think Chris Paul is going to make Devin Booker possibly lead the league in scoring with his ability to set him up and take some pressure off him and help facilitate so Devin can really focus on scoring. And then I think he's going to take the big man. I'm forgetting his name for some reason. I think he's going to take Aiden. I think it's going to take Aiden's game to the next level. Chris has a track record with bigs. Tyson Chandler, DeAndre Jordan, and Clint Capella. He makes those guys got all those guys a lot of money. Look for it to happen the same thing here.
Yeah, Chris Paul making everyone around him better and such a touch with the young guys in Oklahoma City. I'm sure he will bring that to Phoenix as well. All right, I want to stick with the Western Conference here, guys. Checking out today's Keys to Success brought to you by Kia. As we mentioned at the top of the show, James Harden wants out of Houston, but the Rockets in no rush to trade him. That begs the question, Vince, what is fair trade value for Harden? Is there even such a thing?
That's the question. What is fair? I heard Perk say something about that earlier. I mean, you might not get the exact value, but you need to try to get as close to possible. I mean, you're talking about when you're getting you have this dollar, you're trying to make change. You're not, you know, you're trying to get that dollar and change however you can get it. So it might have to be a three-team trade or something. But right now, like I said, if I'm the GM, I'm outside of going after the top four or five players in the league. Like, you're going to have to go through different channels to kind of make up for that.
I think obviously when you trade a player of James's caliber, you're not going to get someone back unless you're trading directly for a superstar. So it's going to have to be a bunch of young talent and draft picks. So I think that's only the only way you kind of make that work. So it'll be interesting to see what direction they move, whether it be Philly, whether it be Brooklyn. But you know what? The Rockets have control the keys to the car right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell y'all one thing, and I said it before. James Harden is their drop-top Rolls Royce, and they're not trading it for Escalade. So the Rockets right now, they're holding tight. They are holding tight, and they're not just about to give James Harden away. At the Anthony Davis trade, look, the Pelicans won big time. They got the number one pick, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball. They got a lot back. They even got Hart back. So when you look at this situation, unless you're about to land a Kyrie Irving for James Harden, which is not happening, or Ben Simmons along with a pick, the Rockets are not.
Well, look, our draft insiders, our NBA insiders have said that if there is a trade either tonight on draft night or in the coming month, that it would be the Rockets want an all-star and they want a lot of picks. But, Perk, I actually like your analysis framing better. Drop top Rolls Royce does not get an Escalade back. I think we're just going to use that on the bottom line from now on. Before we go, guys, I just want to congratulate a trailblazer. You know, Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns have been repped by Leon Rose. He, of course, went to go run the Knicks. So now both players are going to be repped by CAA's Jessica Holtz. She is the first woman to represent two max players.
Nice.
Those guys are in very good hands.
Wow. Congratulations.
And I gotta say, to see all the ways the women of the NBA are making noise. We see women in the front office now, certainly on the bench to be coaches and in player representation as well. Congrats to Jessica, and congrats to Karl-Anthony Towns.
That's two good players to have to a good one. Start.
Absolutely.
That's two great players to have
Thanks
as a start.
To everyone today. Look at the draft tonight. We'll be back to break it all down tomorrow.